I am Chris Von Erich. Come on, Franklin. That's hot. Are you serious? If you walk around looking like that, you deserve it.
I got something to say about that. This is The Red Lens.
Oh, that never gets old. good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chris Von Erich, and this is The Red Lens. It is Thursday night. This is our night. I am not moving from this night ever again. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt do shows on Thursday nights. That's it. I'm not moving. That's it. This is going to be our time slot for the foreseeable future regardless. My man Franklin, how are you this evening?
I'm doing all right, and I can't wait for this show because it's gonna be a good one. And let me tell you something, if Tom Pitt or Brad Cruz or whatever the hell his name is, they should be on this show.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And we need our publicists to get going on that. Get these damn people. I want to hear the behind the scenes of the new Mission Impossible. I want him on here talking about that.
I'm actually looking forward to that. And that's not something that I would normally say, because I think I saw the original Top Gun about 10 years after everybody else did. But I'm looking forward to the new one. So we'll see.
Yeah, no. We are going to have to wait a little bit because our guest is on the West Coast tonight. So we're just going to wait for him, I know everybody's excited for him. I can't wait. And as soon as I can tell that he's in backstage and everything looks good, we'll have him up there and we'll get him up and we'll start the ball rolling. I think this is going to be a tremendous show.
Probably in the green room.
What'd you say? Yeah.
It's probably in the green room.
I'm almost 100% positive he's in our green room. I need to double check and make sure that all his devices are up and running in terms of his camera and his audio. But we will do that. We'll get that going as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. But, speaking of things like happening and everything, last week I went in really pretty hard on Simone Biles. Okay. Maybe harder than even to her current boyfriend,
Hey now.
But nice. She did come back. I'll give a little footnote here while we wait for our guest to get in here, get into the studio. She came back and she performed and she actually medaled. She got a bronze medal for her efforts on the balance beam. And kudos to her for doing that. But again, as you know, Franklin, I am always the one to look with the red lenses, see what's going on underneath the surface. And I have to wonder, did she do that because she wanted to see what her personal best was at that moment? Or did she see as a participant that these other girls were not failing or just not qualifying, but they were winning medals? Her co teammates were winning medals, and I'm saying it right now. Was that the motivation? Did she not want to be left out?
I think the motivation. excuse me. I'm sorry. I think the motivation basically was she heard what went down on this here show.
Yeah.
And well, and she knows that you speak the truth, and we all speak the truth. But I'm with you, Chris. She didn't want to get left behind. Okay. The woman that sort of took her place, I forget what her name was. I don't want to say made her look stupid, but probably made her realize that what happened was a mistake and that she should have been up there. I mean, yeah, she medaled. She got a bronze, I think, or tin or whatever it's called. Certainly better than whatever I could do. And congratulations to her. But there's no doubt in my mind that what happened, okay, she realized that.
Right.
Yeah, and there are a lot of news outlets that were pretty, not pretty hard, but there are a lot of news outlets that, you know, gave her to a butt good. So I think she had to show face, save face. How do they say it, Chris? Show face, save face.
Well,
did what she had to do.
I think in her particular situation, it was save face a little
bit.
That's
it. I'm sorry. That's what I meant. Oh. Yeah.
And it was a scenario where she was at the point where I think she was getting nervous. And Omega 33 says, where is Matt Cross? He is coming. All right. I believe he's, I think we got him. I think we got him right now, Omega. So are you guys both friends with his wingman? Well, we're going to find all that stuff out. All right. In about 2 seconds here. I am going to, before I bring him up, I'm going to do like I was going to do right from the jump and do a little intro here. All right, guys. You know, and I do think we separate ourselves, Franklin, when we have guests on here that are really benchmarks, you know, benchmarks in the manosphere. Okay. And tonight is absolutely no exception. All right. He is one of the most popular dating and lifestyle coaches within the manosphere. He doesn't have just one YouTube channel. He's got two. Okay. Everybody, I want you all to give a warm welcome to Mr. Matt Cross from the 33 Secrets. Good evening, my man. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, good. Doing very well. We're causing your audience a little bit of anxiety here. I know. Your audience wants you here. They want to hear what you have to say. So now you're here, and I just want to say thank you for being here. And is everybody that you know okay in this crazy time and whatnot?
You know, everybody I know.
Yeah. Yeah, you had the lockdown. Now everything's kind of going crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for the most part, everybody is hanging in there, doing well. But you know, I mean, we gotta do what we got to do, right? Just gotta keep moving in life.
No, absolutely. You know, you have to keep going. You have to keep striving, and that's one of the things that I think you do so well. You know, and you are a determined type of guy, somebody that has two YouTube channels like you do, your primary one, the 33 Secrets, and then the second one is the Alpha Male Strategies. Is that it?
It's the Alpha Male Secrets.
Secrets. We don't want to get people confused.
Now
you're in what part of the United States?
I'm in Los Angeles, California, so I'm over on the West Coast.
Another reason to be jealous of Matt here. That he's he's out in the land of candy out there with all the women.
Oh yeah, yeah. We've got like great weather right now. It's like 100 degrees, but the only negative is they just brought back the mask mandate a few days ago. So,
did they?
Yeah, yeah. You got to wear masks indoor right now. And I'm guessing they're probably heading towards another lockdown. This is usually the setup. I mean, you guys know how it works, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I wanted to ask you, now, not for those people living under a rock, what made you decide to get into the online thing with your YouTube channel here? And what kind of separates your channel and what you're offering from some of these other guys out there?
Okay. Well, I started out on YouTube just kind of by accident. Back in the day, I was been, well, in case guys don't know, I'm a dating coach. I'm a pickup coach. So I've been doing that pretty much my entire adult life, doing cold approach pickup. And it was around the mid-2000s when YouTube started to come about. I had a number of guys who were like, hey, you got to get on YouTube and you got to put some of these infields on YouTube. And I was like, okay, what's that? And they were like, no, you just have to upload it on here. And I didn't understand that. But I remember when I created my first channel, I think I posted a few videos and automatically I had like 10,000 views. And this was back in 2008. So I knew, I was like, okay, maybe there's something to be said here about this new platform. So I just continued with that. And then I created a couple of other channels. And I mean, really, I was using it as a tool to just educate more guys and to reach more guys. So, I mean, that was my motivation at first. And then suddenly it just started to grow into all these other different directions because the dating landscape changed, culture changed, you know, all these factions of the manosphere started to come out. And so now it's kind of like, it seems like, you know, we're all over the map, but we're not. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a pickup artist still. I still teach pickup. I still teach dating advice, but I kind of do it with a red pill lens. And that's probably what separates me from other dating coaches is that I do like actually dive into female nature. And I'm not afraid to go there and tell guys like, hey, you know, this is how down and dirty they can really get if you pick the wrong woman or if you get caught up with one of these, like, you know, modern day women, so to speak. So I'm not afraid to go there. Whereas I see a lot of dating coaches just kind of want to stay in their lane and rightfully so, you know, it's like they just want to teach pickup or teach game or teach dating advice. And it's kind of like the same thing with the red pill guys. They just kind of want to stay in their lane and teach the red pill stuff, or even the black pill guys. They want to stay in their lane and teach the red pill stuff. And I kind of cover everything. So I try to cover everything just because I believe the power lays in, you know, just kind of like a wider understanding of everything that's going on out there.
I agree 100%. And I give guys like you kudos that actually come out and, you know, anybody can do stuff and not have the camera on or be an avatar and, yeah, and do those sort of things. But to put yourself out there, okay, and to actually, you know, show yourself, you know, in different situations, because you're in some of the videos that you're putting on your channel. So this is not, you go beyond just explaining things. You are actually showing guys, well, this is the scenario. You know, yeah, this is how it's going to be, and this is what you're going to face. So right. I think that's another thing that separates you from a lot of the other guys.
Yeah. I mean, I just try to lead by example, you know, and I think at the end of the day, it's more credible when you put your face out there and, you know, you're speaking and you're standing by what you say. But in the same sense, I understand where a lot of guys just kind of want to hide behind the avatar because they have like jobs and they don't want to get canceled and all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, I think it's more credible if you put your face out there and, you know, just not a lot of whole people are willing to do it, you know, and you guys are doing it too. So kudos to you as well.
Right. That is true. And believe me, I get it through emails and just random people that see me now and they're like, oh, I can't believe you turned into a male chauvinist pig. I was like,
oh. Right. Oh, you hate women.
But, you know, and here, you know, we always scour the social media to find pictures of our guests that go out there and do things. And this is a big reason why Mr. Matt doesn't care about being on camera. This is his life, ladies and gentlemen. This is an example of what this guy is doing on a Friday or Saturday night.
Friday and Saturday.
That's right. Yeah. He's got enough of girls for both nights there.
I'll say.
So. But that's tremendous. But again, stuff like that, sharing your nights out and things like that, that's really great. That's tangible for guys.
Right. And I get a lot of kudos, too, from the MGTOW guys because, you know, some of these guys, too, with channels and they hide behind the avatar, a lot of things that they say obviously are pretty credible, but they get called incel or they get, you know, they get bashed like, oh, you hate women, you can't date women. So I get a lot of support from them because I'm actually out there and I'm doing pickup, I'm doing game, but yet I'm still saying these things. And, you know, obviously I'm still dating women. So it's hard for somebody to go, oh, you know, you don't get women or you hate women or you're this or you're that. It's really hard for them to, you know, right. To
now I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit in terms of give us three things that people, your audience, maybe guys that follow you might be shocked to know about you.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that is putting me on the spot. three things. Let's see. First one, I'm Catholic. A lot of guys will be shocked to hear that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. And I get a lot of pushback from like Christians and whatnot who message me and they're like, yeah, fornicator and this and that. No, I always tell them like, you know, I'm on my own mission back to God and I'm trying to, you know, find my own spirituality and all this craziness. I mean, you know, just based on my experiences and based on my knowledge, I mean, I could definitely just do 1,000 times worse with what, I mean, at least the knowledge that I've acquired about female nature and doing game and pickup. And, you know, I'm really not trying to do that. I don't teach guys to go out there and have sex with the world, but instead to try to use my material to try to find like a partner that is a cool girl that they could just chill with and date and whatnot. A lot of guys aren't looking to sleep with, you know, the entire world. So, yeah. So that's first thing is Catholic. The second thing is I'm a gearhead. I love cars. I'm a big car enthusiast. So I love like old 60s muscle cars. I love like, you know, Trans Ams, Camaros, you know, Mustangs, Corvettes. So I'm pretty deep into that. And every Saturday I go to Cars and Coffee, whether it's in Orange County or, you know, anywhere where I'm traveling to, and I go check out cars. And sometimes I bring my own car there. Recently I bought a DeLorean. So, I've ridden that with me. Yeah. Yeah. So I have that in a lot of my videos lately. So I kind of like put it in the background, but, yeah, that's the second thing. And the third thing that I probably never told anybody is I have like a mild case of OCD. So I'm a little OCD.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I've never mentioned that. So it's first time guys, a little OCD there.
What Matt is saying that he's actually painting a mural on the side while he's doing this interview.
I don't even know about it.
Now, you kind of opened up the box about, you know, your dating life. Are you single? Are you involved? What's going on?
Right now, I'm dating. I'm dating one main girl, but I've had a rotation in the past where I've juggled as many as 6 girls. They call it spinning plates. So I've definitely spun plates for, you know, a number of years. And right now I'm chilling with like one main girl, but obviously, you know, I mean, it's hard because I go out so often, I take guys out, you're constantly just meeting people. So whenever I hear guys tell me like, oh, I can't meet anybody, I'm like, you need to go out. If you just go out and do nothing, you'll just meet people. So yeah, I'm constantly meeting people, but I am seeing somebody right now.
That's a tremendous thing that before I forget it, I want to actually bring it up. I think a lot of guys get caught up on the possibility of the end result. Okay. They go out and they're so worried about, oh, I want to get this girl, you know, I'm doing it tonight. This is happening. And they don't just let it happen and relax and just like be themselves.
Right. Yeah. You
know, they're almost afraid to be themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say that's probably the biggest problem is, especially when they see a girl that is just a little more attractive than what he's used to getting, the guy loses his ability to just be normal around her. And that is really, you know, in very simple terms, a hump that I try to get students over is just so they don't fall under the girl's beautiful woman spell and they're able to just be normal, feel comfortable with taking up her time and space and not constantly be like, oh my gosh, how how do I keep her attention? Or, you know, if I say this, will this offend her? You know, they just can't just let their hair down and just like have a conversation with her.
Mm. So you don't feel it's necessarily like a lot of guys get hung up on the looks, or I don't have a, you know, I'm not making the money, I don't have the job that, you know, yeah, would attract a woman. Do you think they also kind of get caught up on a hump on that as well?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And especially, I mean, now you've got like the black pill community and they're like completely all about the looks. Like, oh, if you don't have the looks, there's no chance, right? You can't get the girls. So
five can't get a 10.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. So they're completely convinced that you can. And really at the end of the day, your thoughts create your reality. So if you don't think you can get the girls, then you can't. You know, and the funny thing is a lot of these guys who are obsessed over their looks really aren't even that bad looking. You know, it's like, dude, you're not even bad looking. You know, it's like a lot of these guys are pretty decent looking guys. But they kind of shoot themselves in the foot when they're like, oh, it's you don't have the looks, she's not interested. Or if you don't have the money, she's not interested. And I just know, just based on my experiences coaching guys for the last almost 3 decades now, I've been out there. It's crazy. But all my years of coaching guys, I've had guys who are like literally male models. I've had guys who are self-made millionaires, but they can't hang on to their women because they're lacking that self-confidence. They're lacking that, like, just that basic level of game and social mastery to keep the woman. Instead, they're, you know, they're being needy in the relationship, or they're being, you know, they're being spineless. And regardless of their looks or their money, they still lose a girl, or they never get the girl to begin with. You know, it's like the girl might be interested, you know, just seeing him from the jump, like, oh, wow, this good looking guy. But once she starts talking to him, she notices right away these little inconsistencies in his behavior that give away the fact that, okay, this guy is just, you know, he's kind of weak in these areas. You know, he doesn't have confidence. He's a little insecure. He doesn't look at me when he talks to me. So these little elements in game that are important to have, right? Obviously, the looks and the money will help you. That's not going to hurt you. But you know, at the end of the day, it really does come down to, you know, your social skills.
Right. And yeah. I think that's kind of sorely lacking with a lot of the younger guys. Okay. And yeah, I'll dox myself a little bit. You know, I'm not in my 20s, you know, and I'm not in my 30s. So I see these guys coming up and they're completely lost. They have no reference point.
Yeah.
And I think that's where guys like you come in to be the guy to say, look, you know, don't freak out. You know, you just have to do some of these things. We got to get you through and build you up to a point where you feel okay even being out socially.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's really especially sad with younger guys coming up, because they kind of grew up in an environment where they were, I mean, they had their parents and society and culture just foam padded the entire world for them. You know, even riding a bicycle down the street, they're like wearing helmets and all of their gear. Whereas like back in our day, I'm assuming we're all around the same age. We just rode our bikes. There was no helmet, no gear. We just rode our bikes. And when we fell, we would just fall and we would learn to fall, right? We learned how to fall down. We learned how to just hit the pavement and whatnot, you know, and these kids have never learned to fall down. You know, I've noticed that especially with my younger students. It's like, if I take them out and a girl rejects them, I mean, these guys are ready to get off boot camp. And I'm like, dude, it's one girl. Are you kidding me? You know, I'm like, let's try again. And it's just like, they're just ready to throw in the towel. So a lot of the younger guys have just never learned to just, you know, dust themselves off and get back up. And, you know, and unfortunately they don't really have a whole lot of like real, like masculine role models in mainstream culture, like pop culture anymore. Like back in the day, right, we had like Schwarzenegger, we had, Stallone, you know, we had a lot of these movies coming out, you know, featuring just tons of masculinity. Whereas today you don't really see that, you know, and
rom-coms.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of these actors who play these like superheroes and whatnot, I mean, they just off screen, it's like they on screen, they're tough, but like off screen, second they step off screen, they're at the woman's march or wearing a pussy hat. And yeah, they're just like, it's like, dude, I can't respect this guy.
4 inches shorter than the woman.
Right. Right.
In some cases, they're not even, you don't even know if they're men or women.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Ma'am. It is ma'am.
So. Gotta got a hybrid. Yeah.
Yes. So gotta be careful about that. Now you touched on women. What's the biggest issue with the modern women out there today? I mean, because, you know, I should put it this way. Are you of the mindset that women are the same as they were back, like you were just saying, from us riding our bikes up through high school and college, mm-hmm. as they are today? Or are they completely different animals, you know, with, you know, culture and how it is in 2021?
I would say the only difference between the women before and the women today are the women today have just kind of like a extremely heightened and extremely delusional sense of where their actual sexual marketplace value is. Whereas, and a lot of that too is because of the dating apps, the social media. I mean, you could get a girl who's like a 4 in looks, 5 in looks, get on Tinder or Bumble or something like that, and she will be just barraged with messages from like pretty decent looking guys too. Whereas back in the day, say like back in the 90s, right? Before dating apps, before mainstream internet, a lot of these girls were not really aware of their like true like sexual, well, I guess they were a lot more realistic, put it that way, of where their physical attractiveness was and what they could realistically attract in a man who would become their boyfriend and who would stick around. I was just talking to an old buddy of mine that I grew up with, and he was talking about how back in the day, we used to call him a chubby chaser, right? So he would chase these girls who were kind of like a little overweight, a little chubby, because he was a little chubby himself. But the girls he was chasing always had like a pretty face. So it wasn't like they were ugly. They were like a little overweight, but they always had like a smoking face. It was like really gorgeous face. I remember some of them. I'm like, ah, she's pretty cute. I would not like say no to that chick. But he would chase these girls and he would get them to no end. He was a pretty average looking guy, a little chubby himself, but he was able to just get these girls left and right. And he was talking about how he's like, I wouldn't be able to survive today because these girls think they could get models, like male models. They were like, they wouldn't even look twice at me. And I agreed with him. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's a different era where these girls, their level of entitlement is just through the roof. You know, it's insane.
I have a friend like that. Her parents told her that she's a princess and that she's, you know, deserves the best. And she's been told that since she was 5. And now she believes it.
Yeah. See?
Now, you know, you guys bring up a great point in that, you know, back in the day, I hate saying those terms, but it's true. You know, the girls you met were either in your town or the town over. And that's how it was. Now, Matt, you just hit it right on the head. They have Instagram. They have Snapchat. They have all these other, and they're talking to guys internationally.
Oh, yeah.
Let alone domestically.
Yeah. So your competition, I mean, these days is pretty fierce, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's all gangster until somebody buys a plane ticket.
Yeah. And I've always advised guys, by the way, like, don't talk to these girls long distance. Like if they live in another country or even another state, don't mess with that unless she's willing to come to you, because with these long distance relationships, the farther away she lives, the more she has the leverage in that, the more she could just kind of milk you for attention, milk you for, you know, just like a shoulder to cry on. And you can't really touch her. You don't really benefit from this. But the closer she is, the more that benefits you, because obviously like she has to see you. She only lives 10 miles away. It's like, what's your reason for not seeing me? But if the girl lives in another country, she could just keep you on the line, which a lot of them do. They just take advantage of these guys and just keep them on the line, keep talking to them, use them as an emotional tampon. And I always tell guys, cut that off. Don't let her get away with that. And definitely never fly to her. Make her come to you. Don't fly all the way over to see her in another country. And you're buying the plane ticket and doing all this like financial investment just to get off the plane, and she flakes, or she's just not who she said she is, or she catfished, you know?
And let me tell you, I'll share this quick little story. I did that, you know, in my early 20s, I didn't fly anywhere. I drove about an hour and a half to hang out with a girl. The first weekend I did it, amazing. You know, I'll just leave it at that, your imaginations. The next month I did it, And, you know, this is blue pill me. You know, had no idea what was going on. She was distant. She didn't want to hang out. She didn't want to do anything, quote unquote. Lo and behold, she had met another guy and obviously was hanging out with him in that time period. And that was it. I was done. Yeah. To your point, I spent all that time and effort for nothing.
Money.
And, you know, I did that look. Well, for me, it was at the time considered long distance. But there you go. And I totally agree. Do not get, you know, emotionally or, you know, any type of investment. God forbid, don't do a financial investment with a situation like that where it's long term, long distance.
Yeah, no way. No way.
Now, so speaking of distance, has in this past year or as we kind of move into what is kind of an amalgamation, you just talked about it with California, is the social distancing, masking, all this other craziness, is that put a damper on you? Have you seen it put a damper on your students and the people that are in your boot camp?
No, I mean, it's a convenient excuse, though, but it hasn't really slowed me down at all. Actually, I mean, as far as like my business goes, my pickup and dating business, it actually grew and expanded during the coronavirus, which I was pretty surprised by, because I was expecting, like, I was telling my staff, like, hey, don't worry, I will float everybody until we get through this, because I was thinking, okay, sales are going to go down, whatnot. But it actually grew because I guess people were stuck at home and watching YouTube. You know, even though I couldn't run any programs, it gave me an opportunity to just work on my content and other areas of my business I can improve. But I did run a few just kind of private boot camps for longtime students where, you know, we just kind of met incognito and I took them out and I did a number of those. And so, yeah, it hasn't dampened that. I just kind of used it to my advantage. I mean, especially just like when they locked down California, I escaped to Las Vegas. And so I was spending weeks at a time in Las Vegas because I'm location independent. So I was going to Vegas and doing a casino floor game, and I was picking up girls in the casino and they were wearing masks. And I would kind of use that as my opener. And like, you know, you look good from the mask up, but yeah, can you pull it down a bit? You know, so I was able to get in a lot of conversations just using the mask alone.
I bet. Yeah. Now, do you travel a lot to like do boot camps or even just check out different girls in different areas? Do you do that a lot?
Yeah. I mean, I usually do it if somebody, like if a student is like in a different location and he wants me to fly out to him and he flies me out. Like I went to Atlanta, Georgia a month ago because a student really wanted me to, you know, go out there, and he didn't want to come to Los Angeles. He didn't want a game here. So I went there. Never been there before, so it's pretty interesting. And yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, female nature just doesn't change no matter where you are. I mean, even doing game in like Los Angeles or San Francisco, where I grew up, I would always like meet tourists or people from different countries. Very rarely did I ever meet somebody who was like a native of that area. They're always from different countries, and it's always pretty like interesting and ironic to me how like women's just their behavioral patterns and what they're wired to be attracted to and not attracted to just doesn't change across culture. It's all the same.
Yeah, that is 100% true. I did want to ask this question of this one person here watching. How often do you have your boot camps?
Not as often as I used to, because I think the good thing about the COVID lockdown was it kind of taught me a lesson of like where I'm expending my energy the most. And originally when I started my pickup and dating business, it was mostly I started by taking guys out, and I did that for a number of years. And the YouTube was just kind of supplementing that. The YouTube was just kind of giving me more eyeballs and more street credential. And I was able to sell more programs doing that. But once my YouTube started to really take off, which has really only been the last 2 years, I want to say that it really just went like through the roof. At least for a dating channel, maybe not for like a prank channel with like millions of subscribers. Yeah. I mean, I'm just like a dating coach, but I mean, it's pretty high for teaching pickup, you know? I mean, it's like, since that took off, I'm not doing as many boot camps as I used to, but again, I'll take out like a private boot camp student, if he wants me to. And I mean, it's not cheap to get me out. I mean, I'm not, I mean, it's just, you know, my time is like, I have to allocate time towards doing that. And it's just, I mean, I could make way more like just sitting still in a room and banging out coaching videos than I ever could just taking one student out on a boot camp, you know? Right. And yeah, I mean, just with the YouTube ad revenue and the program sales, I mean, I don't even have to take students out anymore if I don't want to, but I do it every once in a while just because I enjoy going out. But I still go out on my own. I still do, you know, cold approach at least 3-4 times a week. I just enjoy meeting people. It's not even about like trying to like lay the girl anymore or whatnot. I mean, I just love interacting with humanity and society and getting to know people. And yeah, I'm just kind of a social butterfly.
Well, that's the way I like to do it.
Yeah. That's the best way to do it too. And it's weird. You'll attract more girls that way when you're just there and you're just having conversation.
It's easier to do it that way, I think, than behind the microphone and behind the screen. You know, yeah. I'm like you, and Chris and I have spoken about this a million times. I like one-on-one, getting right up in her face and talking, you know, and throwing it out there, and yeah. seeing what comes back. That's just the way I like to do it. I mean, I've tried online dating before, but you know what? Get me in the middle of a place or whatever it is, and you know, let me do my thing. But I mean, big cities, you know, again, we're in New York, you're in LA. Okay, that's probably different. That approach is probably different than, let's say, if you're in, oh, I don't know, you know, in the Midwest or someplace like that, where it's perhaps not as fast paced.
Yeah,
you know, that type of thing.
Small
that type of. Oh, right. That's what I'm saying. You know, not that the people are any different. You know, but I'm just saying it might be a little different in a smaller town or small surroundings type of a thing. Not if you're in a, you know, 3,500 square foot club versus a, you know, smaller place with, you know, a band or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the way I like to do it, actually.
Yeah.
I've been in LA in ages, though.
Oh, yeah. You can come out. It's great. I mean, well, when the mask mandate is over, hopefully if it ends one of these days.
I know. We're getting it back again too, and I can't stand it. Will say, Matt, you know, I through doing research for you and on you when we're getting stuff going here. You know, I found a lot of detractors. You know, and everybody gets them. I get them. Sure. They'll say stuff like, "Oh, well, you know." He uses material that's, you know, just out there, and it's recycled material. Nothing can be verified. These are all basic stuff that you hear from all these, you know, they say it all the time about everybody. Now, what do you say to people when you come across that? Or is that inconsequential to you?
I could care less. I mean, it doesn't bother me at this time. At this point, I mean, I've been out there doing pickup and games since the 90s, man. And it's like, you know, I mean, I've proven myself and then some. I've held so many boot camps. I used to upload tons of infield to my channel until YouTube actually started banning pickup channels that had infield videos on them. So that's another thing a lot of guys don't understand when they go, "Hey, how come you're not uploading any more infields? And what happened to the infields on your channel?" And I tell them, like, YouTube started going after pickup channels specifically in 2018. And they started warning people. And I mean, a few big pickup channels actually got taken down because of that. So it's kind of forced me to kind of like switch my business model a little bit. But I've had to unlist most of mine. But on my Instagram and my social media, there's plenty of, like, I mean, it's like you can only provide so much proof. It's like I've got photos dating back from the 90s. I've got a number of infields. I still continue to upload infields whenever I can on IG without pushing it too much, because Instagram obviously is going to follow suit with what YouTube does. So you have to be very, very careful these days. But any student who has ever gone on a boot camp with me has backed me up 100%. And I've even had haters like literally take my boot camp just to try to prove me wrong. And they've become like literally like the biggest supporters of my work. Because whenever I do go on a boot camp, the very first thing I've always done from day one that I continue to do to this day is I gather the students and I tell them to pick the girl. I always do the first approach of the night, and I let them pick the girl. And I approach the girl. And so, you know, most times I get the girl, but sometimes I get blown out, you know, and they see that too. And they see me try to recover from that. But I always lead by example. I'm like, who do you want me to approach? I'll approach her first. And if you don't like what you see, you could get off boot camp now and you could get a refund. So I give them that option. Whereas a lot of like dating coaches won't do that. It's like once you're on boot camp and you paid for it, if you leave, you're not getting a refund. Whereas I give the person an opportunity to leave if he doesn't like what he sees within the first, you know, 30 minutes.
Right. And, yeah. and I think that's very commendable. And I think that's right. Yes. My personal feeling about all this stuff is, you know, we are 20 to 25 years into the scope of talking about dating and guys getting out there. There is no way you are not going to say the same thing in a different way that's personable to you versus some other guy out there. Mm. It's impossible. You know, there's no way you can create some newfangled idea or saying or, you know, trope and, you know, and have it be 100%. Oh my God, I've never heard that before. So I agree with you that I think that whole argument about, oh, well, I said it first, or, you know, that was my thing, quote unquote. I mean, I think it's a load of garbage, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, if, you know, these guys who are in the manosphere, a lot of them don't understand like the history of how this all got started. I mean, if you look back before the red pill, before MGTOW, before any of this like transpired, I mean, it all started with the pickup community, like in the late 90s. This is where all of this stuff started to transgress. But back in the late 90s, I even remember like the very first website I ever came across was called Alt Fast Seduction. This is where pickup artists were posting all of their infield results. And I remember Mystery was on there, and Mystery was posting his infields. And then after that, it started to evolve a bit more. And then obviously the book, The Game, came out, and the TV show, The Pickup Artist, which actually had a couple of students on that show as well. And I used to game with Matador, who was actually Mystery's wingman. Nice. Games with Matador. Yeah, gamed with him a bunch of times. So yeah, I've been around for a while. So a lot of this terminology, like, and everything going on today was really, really started from the PUA community. And, you know, I see a lot of guys these days like, oh, you know, that was mine, or this was mine. It's like, I've never done that. I've always been like, hey, this is all open source, and we should treat it as such. And I, at the end of the day, my feeling about this is, if it's helping guys, then they should be learning it. Your ego shouldn't be getting involved and being like, you know, this was my concept. This was my concept. If it was, then trademark it, right? You can't trademark it because it's an open concept. Yeah. But a lot of these guys who've said things like that too are not guys who are going out and doing these things. They're, you know, they're just, in a way, it's very hypocritical, because a lot of them will either be single dads, or they'll be like married to the same person for the last, like, you know, like last three decades or such. And so it's like, well, you're not even going out. You know what I mean?
Well, let's call it like it is. I mean, yeah. I've said this on the air. I'll say it again. You know, you can't even live what people call a red pill lifestyle to the extreme, or to the letter, as it is, if you're married or you have a full-time girlfriend. I'm sorry. Right. You know, that's how I feel. That's my opinion. Yeah. And I agree with you that some of these guys out there that are giving information, you know, you haven't done anything in 20-something years.
That's what I mean. It's like, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk, you know? And a lot of these guys have not done a cold approach since, you know, like 1989 or whatever, you know? And it's like, okay, well, why are you, you know, I do my best to live what I teach, and to just, you know, whatever I teach guys, I'm actually doing. And I always back that up too. It's like everything, whenever a guy gets on boot camp and he's like confused about something, I'm like, hey, this is in my program, or this is on my channel. You know, I'm not doing anything different. I live and breathe what I teach, because if I'm not, then I'm a hypocrite, you know, and I don't want to be that.
Right. I think, and you can chime in here, I think the sphere goes way too much on the beefs. I think there's way too much of that out there. that this guy's a jerk and he did this and, you know, that's my stuff and what have you. I think it all comes down to cash at the end of the day. You know, I think maybe some of these guys out there are all about, you know, making that bottom line, you know, above and beyond helping guys out. And that's a shame. That is a shame.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of finger pointing, a little too much. And I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I've always said I'm a free market capitalist. I am a hardcore capitalist, and I believe the best products will always rise to the top. And the best thing you could do is divert your energy towards creating the best product possible. So amount of people following you, and not divert your energy or get distracted by trying to claim like, oh, this was mine, this is mine. That's not going to bring you more customers, because I mean, it's like me going, oh, I invented this part of the pickup community. Nobody cares, right? Nobody cares. They're just going to go to the person who they're getting the most value from, right? I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's what it's about. And all these little beefs going on in the manosphere are not only destructive for the manosphere, it's not only destructive for guys wanting to learn from it, but it's also setting a bad example. It's just telling guys like, look, they're behaving no different than women. They're stuck, you know, and I've talked this on my Alpha Male Secrets channel, like when you're just complaining like that constantly, and you're trying to control, like literally trying to control the market by running a smear campaign on some other guy's channel or whatnot, you're stuck in your feminine frame. You're not in your masculine frame, because men don't do that. You're stuck in your feminine frame. And obviously you're an anti-capitalist, because you're trying to control the market. You know, you're kind of being a communist, right? You're trying to dictate what the direction the market goes in, instead of just putting your best work out there and seeing what kind of response you get, right? And one thing I've always told guys is they'll message me sometimes and they'll be like, oh, this guy said this about you, or this guy said that. I just don't care. They're like, do a response. And I'm like, I don't have time. I'm too busy just building my brand. I'm too busy putting my content out there. And they're like, well, you said this. And I'm like, I don't care. Right. I'm like, I'm going to put my content out there. And while he's busy, you know, focusing on me and worrying about what I'm doing, and I'm living rent free in his head, I'm just going to continue to pump out the best content that I can, and, you know, do the best programs that I can and the best boot camps, and just, people at the end of the day are going to vote with their feet, right? And you can't control that. You know, I mean, to sit there and be like, oh, this guy is saying this, but I really, that was my stuff. You know, it's just, I mean, it's like, it's childish, and it just, yeah, it's just pretty feminine in my opinion. I don't worry.
I couldn't agree more with a lot of that. And definitely the feminine part. I think, you know, if a girl that was curious about this little nook of the internet ever came in at this time period and looked at some of those videos of what these guys were talking about, and some of these channels, and I'm not here to name any channels or anything, but some of the channels, that's all they do. Existence is to poke fun at people and poke fun at what people are doing and what have you. And if a girl ever came in and saw that, they'd be like, are these guys serious? This is the manosphere. This is what's going on here. And that makes me feel bad.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but that's, you know, that's the state that that's a point in time that we're at right now. But I mean, and unfortunately, there are some of these guys that I actually looked up to that I respected. And, you know, I mean, I've heard other guys kind of regurgitate my talking points, and I'm flattered when I hear guys do that. I'm not like, oh, my God, let me go attack this guy. This is mine. I'm flattered. I'm like, wow, he learned from me and he's just kind of regurgitating. That's great. I'm happy about that. So.
Right. You know, I mean, at least you have that stuff. If anybody learns anything about me or anything I'm doing here, they might end up in jail for a weekend. So but I wanted to share John Stone's question. I'm not expecting you to answer questions left and right from people, but I thought this was a good general one. He's asking you, should you be focusing on your purpose versus going after women? Is there a balance? What's going on with that?
I mean, I honestly believe that, you know, you should have a balance in life of everything, even his question there. Even though I didn't really take that path myself in my 20s, I literally just pursued the women and I forgot about my path and purpose and goals. And I was just kind of like, you know, just kind of not taking care of things I should have been in my 20s, but just pursuing women. And it wasn't until my 30s that I just started focusing on work. But I mean, yeah, it just depends on what his ultimate goals are. Or his ultimate goals to get married one day, have a family, you know, because if that's the case, then that would be something where he would need to divert more energy towards, you know, towards both rather than just one or the other.
You know, I think Matt and I are kindred spirits in terms of, you know, what we did early in life. I wish I had, they talk about time being a resource. I wish I had some of that back.
Yeah.
Now, I always ask, you know, and I know your time is valuable, speaking of time.
And I
always ask, my last question to people is, you're sitting here, where is Matt Cross in 10 years? Are you still doing online stuff? Are you moving into something else? What's your idea as you look into that future?
Well, right now, you know, thanks to the success of my pickup and dating business, I've been able to branch out and acquire other websites that are cash flowing and other like e-commerce properties and whatnot. So, I mean, if YouTube ever takes me down one day, which they might, financially, I'll be fine. I'll be okay. But I've always told guys in the same sense too, that I can easily go another decade in pickup and game and, you know, teaching dating advice. So I'm going to definitely do that for at least another 10 years. You know, I have the energy to just keep going. So, I mean, yeah, nothing's really, you know, there's nothing that's really pushing me in any other different directions. But I see myself still doing that in 10 years and, you know, just continuing to grow and expand and just, you know, build my brand and build the audience. And, you know, really beyond that, just reach more guys. I want to awaken more guys. I want more guys to just become aware of, you know, female nature, become aware of just reality, stop living in this delusion and just be men again.
That's great. And you know what? You know, I think I speak for Franklin where I want to see you keep doing this. You know, I want to see you out there. I want to see you keep doing this stuff on your website, which for everybody out there, it is youtube.com, The 33 Secrets. You can also find him on Instagram at Matt Cross Official. And is there any other multimedia where people can find you?
Just subscribe to my YouTube channel. That's the best way to support my work. And obviously, you know, if you have guy friends that need to be red-pilled, send them my content. Or if you guys who want to learn like pickup and dating and cold approach, send them over.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, I want to thank you again for your time here tonight. I think you're doing good work. And I want to see you keep doing it. And if you ever have anything in the future that you're, you know, you're writing a book or there's something new out there, you're always welcome here. Okay.
Oh, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me. Had a blast and peace out.
All right.
Thanks for being there. Appreciate it. All right.
Tremendous.
Yeah, I'll say.
Tremendous. You know, again, Franklin, you know, we always get the, you know, we get the good guests. We get the, you know, we're really fortunate to get, you know, the guys that really make an impact in the space where, you know, where we kind of exist here. And Matt is one of those guys. You know,
I kind of like what you said about, I'm sorry, say it again. Yeah, my thoughts. Well, I kind of like what you said about when people are saying that people who regurgitate what he has taught them, that's a form of flattery. That's a form of flattery. And it also means that they've taken what he said and, you know, and using it, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. It's one of those. I guess it's a pretty sincere form of flattery. One thing I did want to ask Chris, probably should have asked him, but he said that he had videos that were removed from Tube or whatever it was, Infields, right, whatever it was. He didn't say what the reasoning was behind that, was it? Did he?
Well, what it was. It was YouTube going after guys that were uploading in person infields. I'm pretty sure you know what this is. This is when the guy goes out there and he's filming live his approach to the women, maybe even the conversation that's going on,
mm-hmm.
to see, you know, to see, you know, to demonstrate how it is for these guys that are involved in these boot camps and these classes that guys like Matt have. And YouTube basically said, look, you know, that's, you know, yeah, that's probably, they probably said it was like solicitation. And
well, that's what I was getting at. What's
these girls aren't giving you permission, you know, so they might not even know they're being filmed. That's illegal, blah, 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 you know.
Okay. All that. See, that's what I probably should have asked them. I mean, I knew what that was about, but I'm just trying to figure out what their beef was with
right.
That was all.
Sergey, good.
Oh, boy.
You know, a very Russian name. We'll just put it that way. Let's talk about unnecessary masking, like outside. Pressure to wear masks were completely unnecessary. The mask can only stop, you know,
spittle,
you know, only and only redirect saliva. You have to change the mask every 20 minutes, et cetera, bacteria. No, 100%, you know, I try to wear my mask as little as possible. I try to avoid those places that are going to be, you know, heavy
insisting
on that.
On it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I try to avoid them. That's what I would suggest you guys, you know, like, you know, avoid those places that are, you know, doing that and go to places that don't. You know, there you go. You know, if you got a choice, and this is what they're going to have this problem in New York.
For damn sure.
If you have a restaurant that is demanding you have a mask on and there's one across the street that says, oh, don't worry about it. Where are you going? You know, you're going across the street.
In a hurry, too. I mean, I don't know if I probably didn't even tell you, but last Sunday I went out and they still have the restaurants built on the sidewalk still.
Oh, really?
And yeah, and the proprietor of the restaurant, he told me, you know, over the years we've become friends. He told me that the state, you know, has authorized that for another year. So I don't know whether he knew something was going to happen or not. But inside of the restaurant, which is a very small place, small and quaint, there was only four tables and nobody was inside. Everybody was outside, and I've said this before. Okay, so instead of eating indoors, you're eating indoors, outdoors,
right?
Because I'm assuming you've seen some of the enclosures. They're basically an outdoor restaurant,
right? Yeah,
you've got a roof, door, and sides, and it's the same thing. I just don't get it.
I totally agree, and you know, use your brain out there, guys, you know, and that's how you navigate, you know, the craziness that's going on. Mm-hmm. Mighty Zane says, good evening, gentlemen. Great podcast. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, my man, for getting enjoyment out of watching Matt, listening to him and watching this broadcast. Thank you. John Stone. Thank you, guys. Been watching Alpha Male Secrets for years. I'm glad I discovered the Red Lens today. Iron sharps iron. Thanks to the three of you. Well, thank you. Thank you, Johnny. I hope you continue to watch because, like I said, we have guys like Matt on. We got everybody on the show. Everybody comes through, Franklin. You know, it can be sports guys. It can be, you know, hopefully women of adult entertainment. Maybe next week, you know, we have that in the works. We'll see.
Really? So... Oh, yeah. You might have let something slip. Is that it? How do they do it nowadays? Things leaked. Is that?
Oh yeah.
Leaked information.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Absolutely. Not the bad leakage. The good.
That'd be more like seepage.
That is. See, it's there. Leakage is okay. Seepage is very bad.
Cool. That means go see a urologist fast.
Oh yes. There you go.
Oh my.
Yeah, George.
Tremendous. And we got some good stuff coming on down the pipe. All right. I don't think I missed anything in the chat here when I was trying to keep, I don't like to put it on the guests to answer all the questions in mm-hmm. the chat because I don't know how they feel about that. So I was just picking and choosing. I just want to double check to see if we missed anything that was a general question.
There were a couple of questions that I thought was interesting. Well, it was one, actually, that I thought was pretty interesting. It's about the gentleman. How do you approach women if you're broke or poor?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was sort of interesting.
Yeah. So, here you go. Well, of course, who says it? Jawada King, author of 7 books, a friend of the program. I mean, you know, he must sit there and do this tongue in cheek. Some, how can you, a poor man, get a hot girl? Well, guess what? You can't. I'll break it to you. if you have no money whatsoever to live a social life, you're probably not getting any girlfriend. You're dating Pamela Henderson.
Okay. Nice one.
Yeah.
Author of 7 books. I haven't even read 7 books. I know. Like this guy. What are you kidding me? Good for him.
Well, he's done. Written 7. My God. Oh, goodness. What are you saying?
Unbelievable.
Oh, he wants to. I did not fire up the phone lines tonight because usually when I have a guest and they don't say that they're going to take calls or questions, I don't start the phone lines up. So I'm not doing any phone calls tonight. So if you have a question or you want to say something, do it in the chat. So just drop it in the chat there and I will answer it away and the best we can. Okay. So I think, what do we got here? MBZ, Matt Cross is the real deal. I've taken his boot camps and he's an amazing infield. Well, there you go. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. This is a guy that can vouch for putting the money down for our guest, and he got a lot out of it, still getting a lot out of it. So there you go. Tremendous. Good. I like hearing it. You know, I like hearing when guys have success, you know, when guys are out there, you know, getting it and getting tail, getting everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I like. All right. So on that note, it is getting to be the witching hour. But I want to thank everybody that tuned in to watch us here tonight. I want to thank everybody that's going to watch this on replay. And most importantly to me all the time is thank you to you, Franklin, for being here.
Not a problem, Chris. I am glad to be here. And let's not forget our guest.
Oh, yes, no. See, this is why I have you around, Franklin. You know, if left to my own devices, ladies and gentlemen, things would get very bad, very unruly, and people would be very mad at me. So, Jawara the King is trying to jump in here with some questions. I told him I'd answer them, so I'm not going away until I do. But, yes, thank you to Mr. Matt Cross for taking his time. Thank you. Every man is not going to make 6 figures or be high value, as KS says. We all know Kevin Samuels. I think I just jumped up in the algorithm by saying his name live on the air. So so how can you, the average man, live the premium fairy tale life? You know, the average guy, let's just put it this way. All right. I'm not, you know, I joke about Tom Cruise. I'm not living Tom Cruise lifestyle. All right. Cause I don't live his life. Okay. That wasn't my life path. So what you got to do is you got to understand where you are in your life, where your life path has led you. Okay. And if you want to improve that, do that. That's a tenet of our show here, whether it's this show or it's You Got a Problem or whatever. You know, I'm always about leveling up, doing whatever it is your deficiency, busting your butt to improve that so that you can keep leveling up and get more to that as much premium lifestyle as you can for yourself. That's what I want for you guys out there. Okay. That's what I want for everybody. So
that's our reward. Is that it, Chris?
That's right. That's our reward. Nobody, not me, says thanks for it. Well, thank you for watching, nobody. And that sounds like a oxymoron there. For watching, nobody. So good show, thank you. All right, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, Again, want to thank everybody. And you got to remember, for us here, you know, society may be crazy, but we're not, and we're going to call them out on it. Good night.